Celebration live on Joy 94.9 from Sydney. Listen are proud to sponsor this Joy broadcast and delighted to give ongoing support to a community-driven radio station such as Joy 94.9.
Andrew Ireland is a former AFL player, a life member of the AFL, and currently managing director of the Sydney Swans. He was appointed as CEO of the Swans in September 2009 after joining the club in 2002 as the general manager of football. Andrew Ireland has overseen a strong and successful football program during his time at the Swans. And more than just a football program, the culture of the club is widely respected across the country. Welcome, Andrew.
Great to be with you.
You're with Danae and Fiona. This week, the Sydney Swans launched the Diversity Action Plan, a joint initiative from the board, staff, players and community leaders. It includes four key pillars, including advancement of women, multicultural inclusion, disability empowerment, and LGBTIQ pride. One of the highlights of the Diversity Action Plan is making Pride Game a permanent fixture request. How likely is that?
Yes, look, we're really fortunate that last year Matt Finnis from St Kilda was in touch with us, and they were keen to have that inaugural Pride Game in Melbourne and thought the Swans might be interested. And we were more than keen to join them, and great to be hosting the second Pride Game this weekend.
Having made that a permanent request, do you think it's likely that you will have a Pride Game again next year?
Look, the discussions with St Kilda and ourselves have been around. You're never quite sure what the fixture will bring, because with us playing a 22-week season and there being 18 teams in the competition, you don't always play a team twice, only five that you do play twice, so you're never quite certain in what order you might get those games. So the discussion with St Kilda's sort of been, well, if we do happen to play each other twice in a year, which is what this year is, the team that hasn't hosted it would host it, and if we only play once a year, we were hopeful that we'll be able to, the team that's hosting it that year will be the team that's playing at home. So we're keen to do it. I guess the biggest question might be, and we've sort of had this initial discussion with the AFL, whether other clubs might want to join in and similarly played Pride games. And so then you sort of get an added complication for the AFL. Does it become a Pride round? And that in some ways is more difficult than to play the same team in every year, because that just puts an extra difficulty for the draw. But I guess from a lot of people's point of view, it would be great to think that it was so popular that it expanded to a round rather than just a game.
I know that there's, at the moment, there's quite a few supporter groups with a lot of the teams. So I think 12 of the 18 teams have an LGBTIQ supporter group. And I know that you've got a great relationship with the Rainbow Swans. How has that relationship developed, and what's the importance of having that group for your club?
Well, we hope we're a very inclusive club, and it was interesting, a couple of years back the AFL, we played Fremantle in a pre-season cup game, and it was close to the Mardi Gras, and the AFL were keen to tie that game, and so it was played as a Pride game on that occasion, and it sort of, I guess, built our view that we should try to be even more inclusive, perhaps, than where we were at that stage. And we had a number of people who indicated to us that they'd like to start the Rainbow Swans, and one of the things for us was not just to have one-off Pride games, but to be a more constant relationship. And so the Rainbow Swans were keen to put their group together. The head of our consumer business, Natalie Fagg, was very keen to expand that relationship. And so we've really built it to be a really strong relationship. We know, for instance, they've got over 400 paid-up members which is in a couple of years is a pretty amazing group to put together. They've got a big function on before the game on the weekend, and it's an ever-growing group. And you know, that group, I think, feel really proud to be a part of that group and a part of our club, and they'll be the guard of honour for the team as they come on the weekend. And even during the week, we had an afternoon tea with them. They came to training, and you know, there's just a great opportunity for them to feel, you know, a strong part of our club and included as they should be in the club, an important part of our club.
Andrew, congratulations on publishing your DAP this week. How long has that been in the build?
It's probably been for about 18 months. The reason it became highlighted to us was we'd worked really hard on our reconciliation action plan, and it was at the time we'd finished the first, we'd done our first one, and that had been in place for 3 years, and we'd just finished putting together our second one, and a couple of us were chatting and said, look, how it is so good that this reconciliation plan is in place, because it formalises a lot of the things that you sometimes would have done in the past and made you think about things that you might do in the future. But also by documenting it, making it public, it really does hold you a bit accountable to deliver the outcomes that you perhaps think you should. And so we thought, look, this process has been so good for us, why don't we think about a diversity action plan to cover off the four pillars that you mentioned? And we found, we put it forward to management. Management were really strongly supportive of it. We got a committee together. Sam Mostyn, who'd only at that time joined the board, who's, I think, Deputy Chair of Diversity Australia, said she'd be really keen to chair that committee. And so we've been able to put a working group together, and they've spent a number of months, the last 6 months probably in particular, to finalise it. And we set the target about 6 months ago to make sure that we had it finished before we played the Pride game, and we finished it a couple of weeks ago and thought it was an appropriate week to announce it.
Yeah, fabulous. And I think it's a document that can lead the way for other clubs to emulate as well. On a lighter note, what's the ground going to look like? What can we expect on the actual night?
Look, I think people will love the night. It's a lot of the... I think one of the things that will really stand out is the number of our commercial partners who've absolutely wanted to be involved. A lot of the branding around the ground, which, you know, for companies to change the colours of their branding, sometimes they're not keen to go there. But I think you'll find that the rainbow colours will be in very strong display at the game. And a lot of activities, we do a lot out in the Driver Avenue precinct outside the SCG. There's a lot of activities there as well. And I think people will just find it's a very exciting and inviting place to be on Saturday night. And the ticket sales have been really strong. I mean, the game, because both teams are in the open, it's an important game for us, but I've got no doubt from seeing the ticket sales that there's a probably even broader interest in coming along to be part of this night.
Well, I know a lot of our community are travelling up to Sydney to sit in Bay 13 and be part of the Pride Bay. So we're really looking forward to the night, and thank you so much for your time and the initiative that you've put into making Pride Game happen.
A pleasure to chat to you, and a pleasure to do it.